This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. The late Mother Teresa was a woman known around the world for her enduring faith and piety. She's not someone we'd expect to doubt the existence of God, but she did. A book published after Mother Teresa's death revealed that she shared moments of doubt with her spiritual confidants. In 1979, for example, she wrote, "Jesus has a special love for you, but as for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and do not see." Crises of faith are common among many people, but does the issue take on more significance when it comes to religious leaders? Tufts University philosophy professor Daniel Dennett co-authored a study that explores this phenomenon through anonymous, in-depth interviews with five Protestant pastors who say they don't believe in God. Dennett is also a noted atheist, and he joins us now. Thanks for being here, Dan.
Glad to be with you, Sasha.
Also with us is Professor Matthew Meyer Bolton. He's an ordained minister and a professor of ministry studies at Harvard's Divinity School. Welcome to Radio Boston, Matt.
Thank you very much, Sasha.
And listeners, we want to know how you would feel if your minister, your rabbi, your imam, your priest was a closeted non-believer, whether you'd want them to disclose that to the congregation, to the parish, whether you've had seasons of doubt, as one of our guests calls it, or if you're in a position of religious leadership, what you would do if you had those doubts. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Daniel Dennett, let me start with you. First of all, this study you did, only five pastors, but very in-depth interviews with them. How did you find five pastors who were willing to share with you that they had doubts about the existence of God?
Well, we actually found more than five, and we originally, Linda Lascola is the wonderful interviewer who did all the interviews, and we had six. One of them dropped out after all the interviews were done, and the last thing we wanted was for anybody to feel that they were being misused or abused in any way, so we dropped her completely from the study. We're about to start phase two, by the way, and do more than a dozen, I think, the second time.
And which expands beyond Protestants.
Beyond Protestants, absolutely, yes.
Give us an overview of what these five non-believing pastors told you.
Well, first of all, of course, five pastors is...
it's a very small sample size.
You can't, and they're all self-selected. But what we found were some patterns which are certainly worth exploring further. Probably the most salient one is that for those who were raised in, shall we call them, literal churches, more conservative Christian churches.
Literal in terms of how they read the Bible.
Exactly. This was really tough for them. I mean, those folks are suffering now. For those who were United Church of Christ or a very liberal denomination, they find it much easier to accommodate. They're already on the way to this, and they don't find the break. Now, it's true that that they hold views that would probably shock their parishioners to some degree, but they can live with that. It's an easier accommodation. They're not suffering the way the literalists are.
Because the literalists, as you call them, it's very difficult for them to say out loud that they might have doubts. Where
they're stuck.
So, in your view, do the congregations that these pastors preside over need to know that their pastors have doubts?
That is one of the questions that is foremost in my mind, and I do not yet know how to answer it. I want to know something more about how big a problem it is. One of the amazing things is that nobody doubts that this is a real phenomenon. In all the reactions we've had to our first study, not a single religious leader said, oh, this is a tiny little subset of pastors. Nobody has said that. But we don't know, is it 1%, 5%, 50%, 75%? We haven't any idea. It's an open secret.
Do you think it may be bigger than we think?
Oh, yeah. Well, how big? I mean, I think in some denominations it may be 80%, you know?
Listeners, we're talking about crises of religious faith, and specifically about a recent study out of Tufts University that interviewed five Protestant pastors who said they don't believe in God. And we've been talking with Daniel Dennett. He's a philosophy professor at Tufts who co-authored that study. Also in the studio with me is Matthew Meyer Bolton. He's an ordained minister and a professor of ministry at Harvard's Divinity School. Matthew, let me start by just having you weigh in on this study. What are your thoughts about this admittedly small sample size that looks at five Protestant pastors who say we don't believe in God?
Well, as Professor Dennett just mentioned, it is a very small size, as you say. It's self-selected. there isn't really much to be said about it, in my view, from the point of view of social science at all, because it's such a small size.
That we can't draw conclusions.
You really can't, even about patterns. I mean, patterns among five interviews is really hardly anything. However, there are some nice, I think, very rich issues that the study brings up that I think many churches, many communities of faith, I'll speak about Christianity since that's the tradition I know best, many faith communities would benefit from talking about these issues. For example, what is the nature of faith and how is it related to doubt? How does it perhaps include doubt? What is the nature of a church and what is the nature of a pastor or a preacher?
And you use an expression often, I'm not sure if it's your own or if you've borrowed it from someone else, but you talk about seasons of faith.
Yes.
The idea that we may go through ebbs and flows in what we believe or don't believe. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, many churches today will use a kind of primary root metaphor for faith, and that is the metaphor of a journey or a pilgrimage. And so there are phases, according to this metaphor. There are seasons. There are times of going in and out or kind of tides or phases of the moon. You know, many metaphors are used. Some great figures in the Christian tradition, such as St. John of the Cross or Teresa of Avila or indeed Mother Teresa, will say in various ways that there are seasons of dryness or doubt or question or darkness that are in fact signs in some cases of spiritual maturity, of moving forward along the path of faith. And I think that the key discernment question for any religious leader, if they're going through a dark night of the soul, as it's sometimes called, is it one of these periods, a season of faith, or is it a sign of something else where maybe a new vocation is necessary?
And we have a caller who thinks that may be the case. So let me bring in Amy, who's calling from Gloucester. And Amy, again, we're talking about crises of faith and a study that recently came out of Tufts that looked at five Protestant pastors that don't believe in God. What are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I think if there's a chronic disbelief among a clergy or pastor, then maybe what you're looking at is someone who's doing a job rather than answering what we would consider a calling. And I would be interested in your response to that.
Well, and Amy, do you think that if someone chronically doesn't believe, as you put it, they should continue to be a religious leader?
Well, I think it will come through in their ministry that what they're doing is a job. And there's something very different about that than someone who truly feels called into that service.
And thank you, Amy, for that call. And Daniel Dennett, your philosophy professor at Tufts, you co-authored the study about pastors who don't believe. What are your thoughts on that? If you have so many doubts that it seems that your religious service is a job instead of a calling, should you be a religious leader?
Well, first, I think it's a terrible trap, because when you have that season of doubt, when you have those first doubts, all your superiors, all your advisors, they say, hang in there. Don't share this with your congregation yet. Stiff upper lip, hang in there, and the doubt will pass. Okay, but what if it doesn't? And for many, and we have no idea how many, the season never comes back. And at what point do we start saying, as some of the critics of our pastors say, well, these are people in bad faith. These are dishonest people. Well, just when their wife and children, who depend on them, what are they going to do about that? This is the only life they know. And also, I'd like to disagree with one thing that Amy said. Is I suspect that many of the pastors in this position actually atone for their dishonesty by pouring their hearts into their ministries. I think perhaps Mother Teresa is a good example of that, that they make compensation for the fact they don't believe a word they're saying from the pulpit by revving up the good works. In a way, you might say, well, then that's just fine, isn't it? Well, it isn't just fine, because it's systematic hypocrisy, and it's certain, and they suffer.
Daniel Dennett of Tufts, thanks for that. Matthew Meyer Bolton, you're an ordained minister, you're a professor of ministry at Harvard Divinity School, you're teaching divinity students, aspiring religious leaders in some cases. Do you think that someone can not believe in God or even have doubts in God and still go on to be a religious leader?
Well, I think it's not only possible, but extremely common to be a adherent or a Christian, let's say, and wrestle. I mean, the word Israel, as many of your listeners may know, it means wrestles with God. The idea of struggle is part of the life of faith. And so I would be concerned if there weren't any doubts at all in my students or in fellow, you know, colleagues of mine who are ministers.
What if it's chronic doubt, as the caller described
it? Well, that's an interesting point. I actually think that the advice that, that some may receive when they, if they first begin to feel doubts, the advice of keeping it to themselves, on the one hand, that's good advice in the sense that you wouldn't want to immediately go to your congregation because you want to do some discernment. And I think that, that pastors, religious leaders need to have communities of discernment outside their congregations. Typically in the United Church of Christ, which is the denomination of my church, the Old South Church in Boston, there'll be groups of clergy who work together and share struggles together, struggles in faith, in preaching, in the life of a minister. And then that will be a kind of crucible for discerning whether or not these doubts are a sign of spiritual maturity and moving forward to a new stage in faith, or whether they are a signal for changing your vocation.
This is Radio Boston, and we're talking about crises of religious faith based on a study that just came out of Tufts University that looks in depth at five Protestant pastors who don't believe in God. And we're talking with Daniel Dennett, the Tufts philosophy professor who co-authored that study, as well as Matthew Meyer Bolton, who's an ordained minister and a professor of ministry at Harvard's Divinity School. And Daniel and Matthew, we have a caller from Attleboro who is actually a rabbi. And this is Rabbi Elise Wechterman from Attleboro. And Rabbi, what are your thoughts about this?
Hi, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm interested in this topic because I think that, well, it could be because the tradition I'm from emphasizes behavior and actions significantly more than belief or faith in a particular doctrine. But I have found in my 10 years in my congregation that my own personal faith has gone up and down and waned, and sometimes I say from moment to moment. And sometimes when congregants ask me what I believe, I often say, depends on the day of the week. And I have found that being honest with my congregation about the inherent doubts that I think all human beings have, and also the moments of profound faith and the moments of profound joy and transcendence, has enabled them to feel more comfortable with their struggles and with their doubts. As one of your speakers said, Yisrael means to wrestle with and to struggle with. And I think that that's sort of inherently the job of a clergy person, is to model healthy wrestling and healthy doubting.
Rabbi Wechterman, have you ever felt that your doubting becomes unhealthy and that makes you not the right person to lead?
I would say doubting in what? Doubting in the Jewish enterprise? No, never. Doubting in particular doctrine? I don't see that as necessarily a problem. If I doubted that the Jewish community had any value, for example, of course that would change my ability to be a rabbi. But doubting whether or not God exists, doubting whether or not Torah originates from the divine or is divinely inspired, none of that actually I could think of as affecting my work that I do in the community.
Rabbi Wechterman, thanks for that. And Daniel Dennett and Matthew Meyer Bolton, you both seem to be nodding. Do you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah,
this is Daniel Dennett.
People have asked us, are we going to include rabbis in the next phase? Of course, we're happy to, but most of the rabbis I know some, it's just not a problem for them in exactly the way that Rabbi Elise Wechterman was saying. There's a whole tradition
of doubting,
of doubting, and it's not orthodoxy; it's orthopraxy. It's what you do, not what you believe, which I think is a very healthy thing. But we have to remember that this is a very, you might say, rarefied and intellectualized end of the spectrum in religion in America. And there are a lot of pastors in a lot of churches who could not say those things without losing their jobs.
And I'm sorry, Matthew Meyer Bolton, your thoughts?
Yeah, I certainly resonate very much with what the rabbi is saying. And in the Christian tradition, there are many resources for thinking about these things. One of the most famous exclamations in the New Testament a father is speaking to Jesus. He says, I believe, help my unbelief. And that kind of thing is actually just riddled through the New Testament, the so-called Old Testament or Hebrew Bible. And these are the kinds of things. This is why this is a good topic for churches to be talking about, precisely because I think the kind of point of view that the rabbi articulates is certainly available for Christians, too. There are many Christian pastors who feel exactly in this way, and many more should consider it as an option because it's a very strong position. There is one of the most famous scenes in the New Testament is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is struggling. He is undergoing a kind of, as Luke says, sweat drops to the ground like blood, like drops of blood. So he is struggling. He is exemplifying a kind of struggle that many Christians can identify with. Many Christians go through their Gethsemane moments, and to bring this out and talk about it wide open, in the open. My pastors at Old South Church in Boston, they'll be very forthright and very frank that the life of faith is a life of struggle and that they personally can identify with that.
Right. I should mention, I think, is your wife the pastor at Old South Church, and you deal with the music work over there?
She is. She's one of three pastors there, okay. And I help out with the music. And, the whole musical tradition includes options here, too. We're at the beginning of Advent in the Christian tradition, and Advent is a time of waiting, a time of struggling. One of the most famous hymns that some of your listeners may know is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, calling for God. Now, you don't call for God if God's already there. In other words, there's a sense of absence, and you're calling for God to fill an absence. So in Advent, there's a wonderful time for churches to be talking about struggle. It is central to the tradition. We sing about it. We should be praying about it and talking about it.
We have a caller who's a moderator at the United Church of Christ, and this is Reverend Kenneth Bailey calling from Newton. And Reverend Bailey, your thoughts about this conversation about religious faith and a crisis of faith among religious leaders?
Well, thank you. It's the conversation has evolved a good bit since I first picked up the phone. And I wanted to respond to something that the professor said about religious leaders not suggesting that this was a small or large experience. It's here in the Metropolitan Boston Association of the United Church of Christ, there are roughly 250 clergy. It is a very small manifestation as described, but I think that both Matt and the professor have put their finger on the nuance and important distinction between belief and faith. I don't know a lot of clergy who are losing their faith. They may not believe, have a factual assent to a certain set of doctrines, but as has been well said, that may not be what makes them great leaders or strong people of faith. So that distinction between faith and belief is very important. And then the professor brought up the difference between orthodoxy and orthopraxy for our Jewish sisters and brothers. It's true for Christians as well. We are not just called to an orthodoxy across Protestantism, but to an orthopraxy. I know those are big words. It's a $3 word that means
sure.
That what we do is important, as well as the poetic and committed proclamations that we make.
Reverend Bailey, I want to thank you very much for that. I want to make one quick mention before I say goodbye, which was, I think it was you, Daniel Dennett, who said for many people they have to live quietly with this because if you say it out loud, you could lose your life and your job and your family and your life's work. So doubting could have serious consequences for many people who are religious leaders who might doubt.
In fact, Matt's suggestion that churches should be open about this and discuss it, it looks very good on the surface. But actually, what we now have is a sort of don't ask, don't tell policy, and it may be that this is more benign. I would hate to see one of the effects of our study being that lots of congregations start giving the third degree to their pastors.
Sure.
I don't think that would be a very healthy thing.
Many thanks to both of you for coming in. Daniel Dennett is a philosophy professor at Tufts. Matthew Myers Bolton is an ordained minister and a professor of ministry studies at Harvard's Divinity School. You can find that study on our website, wbur.org/Boston. Thank you very much to both of you for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll be back after a short break. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.